Well, it's good to be back. Good to be back in London. Great to be here at First Wednesday here in Haven Green. Let me bring you the greetings of Calderwood Baptist Church up there in East Kilbride in Scotland. They're a church that pray for you as you gather on the first Wednesday of each month. And they're a church that I'm delighted to have had an ordination and induction service for Stan. We did that in January, and it was a great privilege and a great pleasure just to lay hands on him, to set him apart for the glory of God, for the preaching and praising of his name. And we've been so encouraged by his ministry amongst us. And we always take time just to pray for this particular ministry here, that desire for the salvation of those who have never yet known peace with God through Christ would become a reality. And we pray for that regularly. This evening I want to read from Romans chapter 5, the opening 11 verses. And then I want to share just a little bit of what's on my heart from that passage. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. Thanks be to God for his most precious word. Well, we want to look for a little while this evening into these opening 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. And Romans, if you're familiar with the Word of God, if you're familiar with the Scriptures, you'll know that Romans is the most incredible of letters. When Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, penned Romans and delivered that letter to the church, it really is quite remarkable, because there, in the sweep of 16 chapters, he unpacks for us all the promises of a covenant God for a people that he would take and that he would make for his own possession. And Romans, in the opening chapters of Romans, we learn the state of man by nature in the eyes of a holy God. We learn in the opening chapters of Romans that man is a sinner. that man is rebellious in God's sight, that man by nature is fallen and far from God, and he stands condemned before God. But as you start to work your way through that beautiful letter, you start to hear the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how in and through Jesus Christ, God makes a way in himself, in God incarnate, God in Christ, God makes a way for man to be reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ. God makes a way for man to be put right in a right standing with God. And Paul, in those opening chapters, right up till here in chapter 5, has been saying, we stood condemned, but now because of Jesus Christ, because of all that he has accomplished, we can be justified. We can be put right with God through faith in Jesus. And as he continues through that, you get to Romans chapter 8, and you get that beautiful declaration, therefore there is now no condemnation because of Jesus. And you continue through to Romans chapter 12, and you get another little therefore, and it says, therefore present your body as a living sacrifice. Present yourself wholly devoted as an act of worship. We learn what it is to be human. We learn what it is to be alive to God and to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, as one who wants to be wholly devoted to him. And in the mix of it all, there are all manner of wondrous things get unpacked. But here in Romans chapter 5, we get another one of his little therefores. Whenever you see a therefore in scripture, you've got to ask yourself, what is it there for? In chapter 4, Paul's just been penning how it's possible to be declared righteous in God's sight through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to do tonight is I want to just unpack some of the blessings that belong to those who are believers. But I want to say something honestly and openly, and I want to say it with integrity, and I want to say it because my prayer is that every single one of us would come to a place where we can say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is the one in whom I put my trust. Jesus Christ is the one in whom I place my faith. Because if we can say that, if that is a testimony, if that is our confession, if that is our conviction, if that is our belief, then the blessings that I will speak about tonight are the blessings which are real for us, new every day, fresh every morning, and we can just live out our life in the light of them. You know, I love being a Christian. I don't deserve this. I don't merit this. I cannot earn this. I have received all of this by the free gift of God's grace to me in Christ. And when I read Romans chapter 5, I'm assured of my salvation. I'm assured of my faith. And what I want to do is I want to declare what I've discovered in Christ. And my prayer is that what I've discovered in Christ, each one of us could discover, each one of us could know, each one of us, by faith in him, can have for ourselves. And so there in Romans chapter 5, Paul, writing about those who are justified by faith in Christ, says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we live in a day and an age and a society and a world that longs to know the height, the depth, the breadth of true peace. And in Christ Jesus, by faith in him, by responding to him, a man or a woman can know peace with God. And the great thing about this declaration that Paul makes here in Romans chapter 5 is he's really just saying, before we were enemies of God, we were at war with the creator, with the sustainer, with the maker of this world. That was our position before faith in Christ. We were an enemy of God. And to be an enemy of God meant that we rightly deserved the full wrath of God to be visited upon us. We rightly deserved his judgment, his condemnation. We rightly deserve for God to move in power and to cast us for all eternity into a lost and hopeless and helpless situation. That's the reality of what the scripture declares. But Paul says, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. The one that we were rebelling against, the one that we were rejecting, the one that we were at war with, in himself, now declares the peace terms. To know peace with God. To be at peace with God. To experience the peace of God in our lives, moment by moment, day by day. To know that one day when we stand before him, as every man and woman shall, that we'll stand before him as those for whom the wrath of God will be turned away. Because we're at peace with God through Christ, through the Messiah, through the Savior. And one of the blessings of what it is to be a believer is just to live each day knowing that you're absolutely, utterly, completely at peace with God. I don't know about you whether you're a person that has thrived in conflict. But my experience of conflict is that nobody really likes it. There are times in life when it's necessary, but nobody really likes it. And the dis-ease that it creates within our lives is very difficult to deal with. But to be at conflict with a holy God, to know that his wrath should be visited upon us, the dis-ease that that creates, not just for a moment, but for all eternity, is horrifying. But then God in Christ declares his peace terms and says, I want you to have peace. Not only do we have peace, part of that peace that we can have with God in Christ also gives us then access into the presence of God. And Paul, as he's writing here, starts to build up the picture of all these blessings that are poured out upon those who believe. Why? Why are you Christians so happy? Why are you Christians so content? Why are you Christians rejoicing? Why are you Christians, you know, the happiest people on planet Earth? Because we're at peace with God, the maker, the creator, the sustainer. We're at one with the one who made us for a purpose, who made us for his glory. And not only do we have peace with him, because of Christ Jesus, we'll get access into his very presence. Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so here is a people, God's people, those who put their faith in Christ, they're characterized by being at peace with the God of the universe. And because of the grace of God to us in Christ, our sins are not counted against us, but instead we're forgiven, we're reconciled, we're at one with him. And we live out every day in that context of being at peace with him. And in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got access into the very presence of God. Peace with God and access into the presence of God. There's not a day in life when we cannot, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, come into the presence of the living God, the creator God, the sustainer God, the all-powerful, magnificent, omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipowerful God. We come into his presence. Little wonder believers should sing and dance and be amazed at the wonders of the salvation which is theirs. I think it was F.B. Meyer who said that peace is joy resting and joy is peace dancing. And that's what the believer has because of Christ. The peace and joy that a person is designed for when their heart, by faith, responds to who God is and desires to worship and glorify and magnify Him. It's little wonder that my greatest longing for any one of us is that we know the peace of God in Christ. It's little wonder that my greatest desire for any one of us is that we know the joy unspeakable which is delivered to those who put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God and access into His presence. You know, when this has been a particularly tough year in pastoral ministry. And it's been tough because we've had to say farewell for the moment to a number of our members in the life of the church. I say farewell for a moment because the truth is they knew the peace of God, they knew the joy of Jesus, and they were reconciled to God in Christ. And so, passing from this world into the next, absent from the body, they're present with the Lord, as Paul says elsewhere. And the reality is, it's been tough. And we've mourned their passing because we love them dearly as friends, as brothers, as sisters. But we have not mourned as those who were without hope. Because we've known that in this life, they had access into the presence of God, and now they've gone into the very near presence of God. What a wonderful gift the gift of faith is. That in this world we can know peace with God through faith in Christ. That in this world we can know access into the presence of God. That in this life our lives can be characterized by joy. Joy. Look what he says there in Romans chapter 5. He says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As we were saying farewell to many of our brothers and sisters, we were rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, so also they would be raised from the dead, raised to be with Him. We rejoiced in the hope of the glory of God, that God makes man and woman for His glory. Man's chief aim is to know God and to enjoy Him forever, to worship God. And to enjoy Him forever. And those who are in Christ Jesus are those who know something of the glory of God dwelling in them, because the love of God dwells in us by faith. But also we know we're designed for the glory of God and how we live and who we are and for being in the very near presence of the glory of God one day, someday. And so the reality is that as you work your way through Romans chapter 5, you find that He's constantly wanting to teach believers, that believers are those who know the peace of God and who know the joy of God as it comes to us in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this is the gift of God's grace. All of this is the gift of God's good news. All of this is the unmerited favor of God. And all of this is a reflection of the love of God that He has for us. He says, it's even possible to rejoice in our sufferings. So we can rejoice in the midst of trial. You see, believers are not spared all that humanity visits you with. We're not spared that. I had a dear brother at the present moment in time who was diagnosed just over a year or so with cancer. And he's been in the midst of the most incredible fight, just to survive. And in the midst of it, the people of God have been praying. And at the same time as he was diagnosed by that, many other people were diagnosed. And some of them have been called home. But he's been marvelously healed and restored. And given back to the church, that he might glorify God. But one of the great things is that he was a living witness, a living example of what it is to rejoice even in the midst of suffering. You see, the New Testament consistently says that as believers, we will suffer. Trials will come. You can count on it. But when we are in Christ Jesus, we can learn what it is to know, even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the suffering, that the God who's made peace with himself through Christ, who gives us access into his presence, the God who fills us with the hope that is the eternal hope of those who are in Christ Jesus, is a God who will be with us in the midst of every trial. And he says we can rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering will produce endurance, and endurance will produce character, and character will produce hope, and hope will not disappoint us. And the reality is, when is our faith being shown to really count, to really matter, to really make a difference? It's when it's tested. It's when it's tried. It's when it's under pressure. It's when it's being refined. You see, when everything's going wonderfully well, it's easy to speak about faith. But when you're up against it, and when things are difficult, and you're in the midst of suffering, but you know the peace of God and access to God and the hope of God that's within you, to know the joy of God in the midst of suffering, knowing that in the midst of that, what he does is mature us and make us more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. And why? Given that we love a Savior who suffered on our part, should we be surprised when we ourselves walk in the footsteps of suffering? Isn't there something wonderfully maturing about what it is for faith to be tested and to be refined and to stand the test and to be purified, and at the end of it to say, it's all part of the plan, part of the purpose that God has for me. It's all for his glory. It's all that he might be magnified, that he might prove himself to be God in my life. The whole context of all that Paul is sharing in Romans chapter 5 is the love of God towards us in Christ. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. You know, I think sometimes, you know, I meet people who come into our church, and it's almost like they imagine that, you know, church is for those that have already got, you know, kind of life with God sorted. But in actual fact, church is just the place where we proclaim and declare the love of God towards those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And we declare that God in his love sent Christ to die for the ungodly, the enemies of God, that they might come to know him and to love him. For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And by faith in Christ, therefore we have now been justified by his blood, and we will be saved from the wrath of God because we've responded to the love of God in Christ. But I want to be very honest here. We are only saved from the wrath of God when we do respond to the love of God in Christ. The love of God in Christ is held out for us. It's proclaimed. It is offered. But we must, by faith, respond. We must receive. We must take that love of God to ourselves. We must repent and put our trust in the love of God shown to us in Christ. God shows his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Those of us who gather Sunday by Sunday in churches to praise his name do so because we've received this love of God by the grace of God into our hearts and lives, and what we want to do is worship and praise him. But what about those of us who haven't? This is the free offer of the gospel. God loves you. God is for you, not against you. God in Christ Jesus has paid the price of your rebellion against him. God wants to turn the wrath away. God wants to reconcile you to himself. God wants to make you one of his children. God wants to adopt you as a son or a daughter into his family. And he holds out the free gift of his love to us in Christ. And we need to receive that love. In the midst of the many funerals that I've taken over these past 8 months, I had a number of funerals that I took because I minister into the midst of my community with the love of God. And I knew that the people who had died, despite conversations I'd had with them, had never responded to the love of God in Christ. In this life, they had never taken the opportunity to be reconciled to God. I fulfilled my promise to them and conducted their funeral service. But oh my friend, why do we resist the love of God? Why do we resist a God who, while we're his enemies, wants to declare peace? Why do we resist a God who wants us to know him in all his fullness and wants us to experience life with him as God intends? A life of peace and joy and hope and love and grace and reconciliation. You see, this is what the believer has. The wrath of God is turned away, not because of anything that they have done, but because of what Christ has accomplished for them and by faith applies to them. That's why I praise God. You know, when I get along a Sunday, you know, I enjoy the preaching of God's word. I'm part of a preaching team, and I hear many different people preaching, and I love to hear them, and I love to encourage them. I love to soak in all that they've got to share. But when I gather, what I want to do is gather and worship the God who loves me enough to make it possible for me to be reconciled to him and to belong to him for all eternity. Why could you ever tire of praising that God? Why could you not want to be in the midst of the people of God who share that same thing and want to praise him to the heavens? Sometimes you look at the people of God coming to worship and you think they've forgotten what God has done for them. You think they don't believe all that God has done for them in Christ and made theirs and applied to them. You know, sometimes you listen to some of the old hymns, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, I'll come in as a believer, and I'll stand amongst the people of God, and I'll sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and I'll say, I've got peace with God. I don't deserve to be at peace with him. I ought to be his enemy, but God has made it possible for me to be at peace with him because of Christ. Count the blessings, peace. I've got access into the presence of God. Count the blessings. I can come into the presence of God today. Doesn't matter quite whether I've got it all together. You can cross all my T's, dot all my I's, and I've got a great theological framework for everything. What I have got is access into the presence of God. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Peace. Access. This is good. Count your blessings. I've got the hope of God in my heart, right? I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of eternity because I know, you know, that I've got the hope of God in my heart. And that hope will never disappoint me. And even when I find myself going through times of suffering, I've got a God that says, John, I'm going to make it possible for you to rejoice in the midst of the suffering. It's another blessing, right? It's even suffering becomes a blessing. What kind of maths is that, right? Suffering's a blessing in God's economy, right? Because he's going to mature you, and he's going to make you more like Christ. And you're going to become the man, the woman that he wants you to be for his honor, for his glory. All of this, by the way, is not about me. It's for his glory, right? Here's the incredible thing is, but I feel incredibly blessed. This is for the glory of God, and I feel blessed out my boots. Right? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. I've got the assurance that one day when I stand before God, the wrath of God is turned away from me. So despite the fact that I'm deserving of the wrath of God, I'm not to be lost for all eternity. I'm not lost for all eternity. Hallelujah. I'm part of the chosen, right? I'm part of the eternal choir. I can't sing a note, but I'll be there, right? And at the end of the day, it's part of the blessing of God. Count your blessings. You know, I've been reconciled to God in Christ. Why would you not be a believer? You know, my heart beats for the salvation of everyone that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I've got friends here. I love you. What I would love for you to do is know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and wake up each morning and think, my goodness, in Christ Jesus, are we blessed out of our boots? Yes and amen. And God did all of this for me while I was his enemy. While I was rebellious. While I didn't want to worship. When I didn't want to know him. When my back was turned to him, when I was running in the other direction, God is moving towards me all the time with the love of God in Christ. And then what he says to me is, he said, I'm going to pour by the Spirit of God my love into you. Those who've been forgiven much, love much. And I've been forgiven much. Sunday morning, I had a young guy, Callum, was a great young lad. We were making him assistant for 3 years. He's going to be with us, a lot longer than that, I'm sure. But, you know, we're setting him apart for 3 years, you know, to train as an assistant pastor. And he's a great young lad. And I had to preach his induction service. And I decided to take as my theme for a young man beginning his ministry, make much of Jesus. My friend, my heart is beating tonight simply to say, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I will make much of Jesus, and it's not difficult for me. Because Jesus is wonderful. He is magnificent. He delivers in every promise that he makes. And when Paul says, therefore, we've been justified by through faith in Christ, he starts to rack up day load, week load, month load, year load, year in, year out, eternal loads of blessings which belong to those who have put their faith in Christ. What a joy it is to be a believer. Now, Paul, he's proclaiming these things, he's declaring these things, as every believer ought to proclaim and declare them. You see what he says? He says, you know, more than that, we also rejoice in God. What it is to find your joy in God. What's the greatest source of joy in your life? The answer's simple. If you're a believer, you should find all of your joy in God. And you will find it colours every aspect of joy that you can think of. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Paul is writing this because elsewhere he talks about the fact that those of us who are called in Christ to have our faith in him, we become ministers of reconciliation. Ministers of reconciliation. We become those who take people who are far away from God and introduce them to how it's possible for them to be reconciled to God. There's a risk that I can embarrass my little friend who month by month prays and makes this event a reality. But at risk of that, I'm going to say there's a beating heart that men and women in this community who are unreconciled to God would become reconciled to God. And that's why there's an investment here in what we're doing. But what would it look like for all of us who are believers and who know that the call of God upon our lives is to be ministers of reconciliation if we really stepped up to that plate and said, Lord, show me. Show me the man, show me the woman that you want me to be a minister of reconciliation to. And we really had our eyes open day by day to share the good news of the gospel with others. I need to bring this a little bit to a close, but you know, in Romans chapter 5, Paul, speaking of all that Christ has achieved and accomplished and applied to him, I think he's just caught up in the wonder of what it is to be a believer. And if you're a believer tonight, are you caught up in the wonder and the worship of that? Do you find yourself not just kind of thinking about blessings in a kind of very generic, broad way, but actually naming them? And you find that when you name them, do you not have a burning heart within you to say, you know, I know the peace of God in my life, and I'd love you to know the peace of God. I know the love of God in my life, and I'd long for you to know the love of God. I know what it is to be a person who can go into the presence of God, and in Christ Jesus, I've got access, and I'd love you to know the same access which is mine. I know the joy of God in the midst of any and every situation and circumstance. And even when I face trial, for me, it's been an experience of God maturing me, refining me, making me more like Jesus. I know the grace of God in my life, and I long for you to know. You know, I'm reconciled to God, and I'd love for you to be reconciled. Where's that beating heart in believers that can describe the blessings which are theirs in Christ and describe them in such a way that those who are not reconciled, who don't know the peace of God, who haven't got access, can discover that this gift of God's grace, which is ours by faith, can be theirs. Can be theirs. Through repentance and faith in Christ. Isn't it a joy to be a believer? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it the most amazing thing? You know, when John Newton wrote that hymn that we sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I think beating in his heart must have been some of the realization of what it is to belong to God in Christ. What it is by faith to be in a right standing before God. I think that's what just flowed out. Back to F.B. Meyer's little comment. If peace is joy resting, I can't actually say I've got peace with God without smiling. Just resting in what God has accomplished for me in Christ. And joy is peace dancing. Wonderful is that, my friend. If God the Holy Spirit would speak into your heart and convict you of your need of Jesus, can I exhort you, can I encourage you, respond to him by faith. Put your trust in him. Believe in him. And know that peace and access and love and hope and grace and reconciliation and eternal away wrath for yourself. And there are many of us here tonight know that. Well, can I exhort you, as I did my young colleague, in the week that lies ahead, make much of Jesus. Tell others of Jesus. Share with them the blessings which are yours in Christ Jesus. Make much of Jesus. You know, sometimes we want to make much of everything else. And I think the older I get, I'm hopefully getting wiser. I just hear God say, John, make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. Why? Because he and he alone has the ability to transform. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we have peace with you. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we have access into your presence. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we can know the joy of the living God overflowing from our hearts. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we can have a hope, which is a hope that endures not just for this moment, but for all eternity. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we can know the full extent of your love. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we can be reconciled to yourself. We thank you that in Christ Jesus your wrath is turned away, and in your grace you adopt us as sons and daughters of the living God. Heavenly Father, would there be one or two or some tonight who would say, tonight I make Christ my own. There's a day to come when we'll understand that you made us yours. But right now we respond by faith and we put our trust in you. And Heavenly Father, as one of the redeemed of the Lord that Stan spoke of earlier, I pray that all of us who know the joy of salvation in and through Jesus Christ our Lord would worship you to the highest heavens and would declare you to the smallest corner of our earth. And as we draw alongside family and friends and neighbors and colleagues and enemies, we would declare the good news of the love of God in Christ. And we would extend to them the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, would you use even us to take those who are far from you and bring them into a living, loving relationship with yourself. Gracious Father, thank you for all the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And help us, as you have with incredible generosity poured out your love and grace into our hearts, help us to declare your generosity to others, that they might hear, that they might receive, that they might respond to your love and grace for themselves. To you be all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Amen. Well, we're going to sing.